Welcome to Parenting Autism. This is Sandy and Chris Coulter. And I wanted to tell you, if you stay to the end of this episode, you're going to hear Bryce sing a couple of songs. I didn't mention in the podcast that he had Grandparents Day this week at his school, and my parents were out of town and were not able to be there. And Chris's parents are watching over Bryce from heaven, and they weren't able to be there. And so we thought he would do these songs and we could share them with you. And it's also a dedication to Chris's parents and to my parents, who we love so much. Enjoy the episode and stay for the song. Welcome to Parenting Autism.
Yay.
Yay. So we did change the title.
Yes, we did.
I know last time when I mentioned it, it was just on my mind, but I appreciate you taking the bull by the horns and making it happen.
Yes, I really like the name, and it's simple, easy to remember.
And I think it makes sense for what we're trying to accomplish with this podcast, which is basically a window into the Coulter Hotel where we live at our home, where we're just learning to parent Bryce, you know, our little man who has autism. So
yeah, and I love the new logo too. It's got the puzzle pieces with parenting kind of like a squiggly line, because it's like a roller coaster
up and down,
and then autism under that.
Yeah, so you cool. Did a great job with that.
Thank you very much.
Designed by Chris Coulter.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it was cool. I was glad we got that up, and we got the new Facebook page up now for Parenting Autism. We got the new email now, which mm-hmm. is parentingautism@att.net. Mm-hmm. And I will be putting links to all of that information in the show notes. But yeah, so I'm excited about this. I really like the direction that things are taking, and you know, so here's a chance to look into the last week of Parenting Autism.
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment, you know.
So. Maybe that's what the name of the show should have been. Never a dull moment.
Right. Hashtag. So, you know, we talk about how we hardly ever get out for a date. And that's the truth. Yep. And with my parents' work schedule, they're not in town all the time. But they happen to be in town on a Saturday for a weekend, which is a very rare occurrence during this season. And so we actually changed up plans, and knowing that we wouldn't see them for 3 weeks, we decided to go out to dinner instead of going to the life group. And so Bryce stayed with my mom and papa, and we came back, visited with them, and he seemed fine. He was actually almost asleep when we got there, but then he woke up, everything was fine. Then on the way home, he started coughing, like that persistent cough.
Mm-hmm.
That persistent cough that reminded me of when he was diagnosed with asthma last year. And, you know, I could smell mom's perfume on him. And I thought, well, you know, he was sleeping on her, so I thought maybe that transferred to his clothes. And she does wear some strong perfume, you mm-hmm. know. It's in that Estee Lauder strong stuff that actually makes me choke up. And so anyway, I just said to you, when I get him home, I'm going to change him out of his clothes. I know he fell asleep, you know, and then we'll give him his asthma medication, and then we'll just put him to bed.
Yep.
So we get home, we do all that. The cough just kept going. So then you're like, oh no, should we give him cough syrup? Okay, yeah, let's give him cough syrup. I'm like, well, let's give him Vicks, because that can help too. Really yeah. didn't know what I was doing.
It didn't slow down. It was like, I don't know. He didn't have the cough medicine in him very long, because before we decided to do something else, because it was such a consistent cough, like he was not getting a break from it. So yeah. We're like, okay, well, maybe it is asthma. Maybe we better give him a breathing treatment.
Yeah, because you were in the other room at that point, and I was laying him down in bed, and it was dark. And that cough, I was like, you know what? Let's do it. So yeah. I went and got the breathing treatment, gave him that, and that helped. I could tell right away the coughing was slowed down, and we finished the treatment. And then all of a sudden he starts scratching himself, like reaching for his back and really scratching. And I had seen him do it briefly when I changed his shirt. And mm-hmm. I thought it didn't have a tag in it, but, you know, it was a different material. That was it. So anyway, he starts digging, and I felt his back, and I'm like, holy cow, do I feel whelps? So I turned on the light, and then I screamed, Chris,
yeah.
Benadryl. So, yeah, so we get the Benadryl in him and get the lights on, start looking at him. My word, it reminded me of his peanut butter allergy when he was one. I mean,
his upper torso was just,
oh, it's horrible. Covered. The back of his knees. It wasn't quite on his face, but his cheeks were red. He was warming up. And, you know, you came in with the EpiPen. I know it's like painting the scene here, but I'm like, you're bringing me the Benadryl. Okay, let's get him into that. Then you come back with the EpiPen, like up like a sword, like you're ready to put it in him.
I don't remember.
I'm
that.
Like, of course, I know. I said at one point I wanted to, like, you know, snap out of it. Hit your cheek a couple times. But I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. You know, he's breathing. But again, you know, we had the scare back when he was one.
Well, with and the peanuts. Doctor said if it happens
it
again,
it could be worse.
It could be
and it
life
could be fatal. Right.
You know,
I remember.
Fatal. So I'm like, we need to have this ready. When do we give it to him?
And it's the
I
first
know.
Scare we've had in 4 years.
So I was all in a tizzy. Sandy was the calm one. And
there has to be
I'm
more
like,
calm.
Okay, I'm calling his pediatrician.
Yes.
And I think by that time, in our minds, we had already decided that we're going to take him to the hospital.
Well, I already got up and got changed. Yeah. Exactly. I was getting dressed while you're getting the pediatrician on the line.
So I got the pediatrician on the line, and she said, so the time that you give the EpiPen is when they have a persistent cough, which he had. Also, when his lips are swelling, and he's having trouble breathing, and his eyes are swollen. So his lips were not swollen, his eyes were not swollen.
And the cough was under control at this point.
And she said, even if you do give him the EpiPen, you still have to take him to the ER because that's protocol. So I'm like, all right, ER is 10 minutes down the road. Let's go. Packed him in the car, got there.
That was it. So we got to the ER. Actually, the whole visit went smooth. We got right in. Everyone was extremely kind and... they got him what they call the cocktail, which was more Benadryl, Pepcid, and a steroid.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get that ordered, wait for that to come. The great news was that actually Bryce never made a peep the entire time. That child never cried.
No.
He never whined about
anything.
He
did say it hurt at one time. I lifted up his shirt and he was scratching and he said it hurts. But...
he was so calm, which helped that he was, and which is why I wanted us to stay calm.
He didn't
want to
take the medicine. I mean, I think half of it went on his clothes.
Well, that was there.
It probably
But I was
going to
say, at least we had his cough under control and we had his itching under control with our Benadryl.
Mm-hmm.
But the hives were still coming. I mean, they weren't slowing down. In fact, they were increasing. But by the time they did bring the medicine, he didn't want to take it, and he's usually good about taking meds.
Yeah.
But it's okay. We got it all in him. He got orange juice that followed. That made him happy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the bed had the pedal on it that makes it go up and down. And so I had the idea to tell him that that was a car pedal and that it would make the bed go 120 because he's all into pedals and stuff. So that was good. He had the gas pedal on the right, the brake pedal on the left that does the release.
That took his mind off of it, yeah.
And then the nurse was great because she let us give him the medicine while she was doing that with the bed. We just all worked together as a team and we got it all in him.
And she's like, well, the Benadryl can make kids drowsy.
Or.
And we're like, okay. So the opposite happened. And
which I have heard that happens.
Yeah, so like an hour later when we're still waiting for everything to subside, which it was, thankfully, he was getting stir crazy inside the little room. So we made a trip to the bathroom, we walked around the hallway, but he was kind of disturbing other rooms, I think. So we went back to our room and just waited it out for the rest of the time. But we got out after midnight, which was not
was
too
like
bad.
After 12:30, we were all in bed by 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So,
and
he
up
was all
for school
better.
The next day. Did we go to school the next day?
Church was the next day. That was Saturday night.
Oh, that was Saturday? Gosh, I thought it was Sunday.
And we slept, and church service wasn't until 11, so that was good. So we did get to sleep
that's
in.
Right.
Thank goodness it wasn't a school morning the next day. That would have been early. So, yeah, I mean, I think the most disturbing part also, and why I'm really wanting to bring this up in this particular...
is the perfume, right?
Well, that's what we think now, but we had no idea.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about the perfume, really, on Saturday night, other than I smelled it on his clothes, and that never crossed my mind. We were thinking, did he have peanuts?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was the other first call we made before the pediatrician was to Mom.
Yeah. what
did he eat? But he ate the dinner we took for him, and then he had his ice cream with the chocolate syrup, and that was it. You know, but again, this whole perspective of parenting a child with autism is Bryce can't really give us any information. And when we ask him, we're like, what did you do at Mamaw's? What did you eat at Mamaw's? He just said grilled cheese, ice cream, and read books.
Mm-hmm.
And was that all he did? Or was that just what he heard Mamaw tell us? Because when we were asking her, that's, you know, he knows that's what he did.
Right.
But that's all we could get. So then we're like, well, did he maybe, I mean, they keep peanut butter in their house, which is fine. But again, in 4 years, we've never had any incident. Mm-hmm. You know, then it was like, well, maybe there was a trace of it on the spoon that he ate his ice cream with.
And it just, if
it was a trace, then maybe that's why it took so long. Because again, this is hours.
But then she remembered later.
Yeah. So then Sunday morning, she sent me a note and she said that Bryce is very curious about everything right now. And he wants to know, what's this? What's this? What's this? And he saw her perfume bottles, which are pretty to him. And he's like, what's this? And she's like, oh, it's perfume. It makes you smell good. And she said she sprayed it directly onto his skin. So, I mean, who would ever dream that that could cause hives? And maybe it didn't, but we're 99% sure that has to be it because there's no other explanation.
Yeah.
It obviously occurred when he was there. Just because he was fine when we left and he was actually okay when we got there and we stayed and talked for a good 30 to 45 minutes. It just took that time to get in his bloodstream. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. And I did had mentioned to her, you know, his skin is extremely sensitive because when he was 3 months old, he had his first case of eczema and we had to change everything. We had to go with hypoallergenic lotions, the wipes, anything that touched his skin had to be hypoallergenic.
Yeah, he was very sensitive.
So knowing that he has had some eczema breakouts, you know, I really do think that's it. Again, it's so difficult when you don't know. And then you don't want whoever your caregiver is, even if it's your mother or a sitter, you don't want people to be afraid to watch your child.
Or feel bad, you know. No, hey, we're all human.
We didn't make her feel bad, you know. I mean, we told her, done the same it's thing. Fine. I could have sprayed something on him and would have never dreamed. I just don't want people to be afraid to watch him because they think, oh my gosh, I don't want that to happen on my watch. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But anyway, so yes, that was the big wah-wah over the weekend. And then everything was good at church. And actually, I do want to share something at church that was a big deal. Miss Debbie has been working with Bryce one-on-one to learn Bible verses because when he was asked at school, what's your favorite thing about church? So I asked him that question. He said, sand. And I thought, well, you know, I'm happy that he likes to play with sand, but I'd love for him to get, he's five, you know, at this point, I'd love for him to be able to get a little more out of church than playing with sand. And I understand they have their classroom with the toys and stuff. So anyway, Miss Debbie and I talked about that. And so she's been working really hard with him to memorize things and the Bible verses. And so a couple weeks ago, when I picked him up, he's like, Jesus loves me, you know, like he knew to say that, which was great. But this time she taught him a whole verse about with the motions, how deep, how wide, how high, how long. I can't even remember the verse. How deep is the love of Christ? And so she was trying to get him to tell us, of course, he won't perform on demand. So we got him. We said, that's great. But then we went over to the door and he told us, ask about what you did in church. However he says it, he was trying to tell us to ask him what he did in church today. So we're like, okay, what did you do in church today? And then he totally quoted the scripture. And then he was so proud of himself. So I want to give a big shout out to Miss Debbie for working with him one-on-one. I mean, in essence, she is his Sunday school teacher. Mm-hmm. She is the one that is there and dedicated to helping him learn scripture on Sundays. And that was such a thrill for my heart. And so I immediately went back as you guys were going to the car and shared with her what he just did
and
for
she
us.
Was so
oh, she was so excited. Yeah. So anyway, so that was our a weekend highlight there. And then the other really fun thing on the week was Bryce has been counting down to February 28th, the entire month of February, so that he could go to the big carnival fair. Mm-hmm. We had mentioned that we went to the little one a couple weeks ago, and this is the big one that comes to our town every year. And 2 years ago, we took Bryce, and we got him to do one little kiddie ride.
Yeah.
And that was when he was three. And he really wanted nothing else to do. So we left and that was fine. Last year we took him when he was four. He wanted absolutely nothing to do with any of the rides, with any of the animals.
Yeah. Like he didn't want any of the rides. So we're like, oh, well, let's go over to where the horses are and the pigs or whatever and see if he's interested. Nope. Didn't want to get anywhere near them.
They had fire engines there. They had trucks there. Yeah. We're like, oh, tractors. Because he's all about that. Nothing, 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 nothing.
I think we were there 45 minutes or something. Yeah. And we're like, okay.
We're like, thank God it was dollar night. That's why we go on that night. So we've been planning this. We've been kind of hyping it up. But last night he had the time of his life. We rode the Ferris wheel, the big one and the small one, but we rode six times. Or he rode six times. We kind of split it up, family twice. He did lots of little rides.
Monster truck, dump truck.
Yeah.
Little cars. The elephant. Pretty much everything that goes around in a circle.
He loves it.
But he likes the idea of the roller coaster, but he's not ready yet to go on that. And he wanted to go on like a couple other things, and we're like, no, you're not going on that one. I mean, it's like big people rides that really make you dizzy and things.
Well, yeah, I think he's, you know, especially as it got darker, because we got there when it was still daylight to precede the crowd. And then as it got darker, he saw all the pretty light. He could see it from the Ferris wheel. So he was spotting out what he wanted to see and ride on next. But it was a wonderful experience.
So here's your tip. If you have a fair or carnival coming to town, you want to get there as soon as they open to avoid the crowds. And so we did that. And we could tell, like, we were there, what, a couple hours?
2.5.
So by the hour and a half, 2 hour mark, we could tell that it was getting crowded. And we could also tell from Bryce his, not his agitation level, but like his nervousness
or anxiety.
That's it. Mm-hmm. His anxiety was ticking up, and we could tell that it was because of the amount of people there. And it did get really crowded. So I'm glad we left when we did. And we were done anyway. He was done with the rides. And another thing I would suggest is to eat before you go, and then eat after you leave. Because if you go and do the rides right away when you get there before the crowds hit, then you're going to be hungry, and you're not going to want to stand in the crowd in those lines waiting to get food, because they cook the food and it takes a long time. But we just left and, you know, went to a fast food place on the way home. So,
yeah, I think that worked out better this time. I also think that going early while it's still daylight also prevents the lights and the extrasensory.
Right.
Because the lights don't really come into view until the sun sets. Yeah. And then by the time we left, it was full on sensory.
Yeah.
With the lights, the noise,
the crowd,
everything else. I mean, Bryce was into it, but woo, you know, it took him a while to.
He was ready to go.
I think he was. Yeah. So that, I'm glad we went early too. In fact, next year we will be there if we can, right at 4 when the gates open.
Yeah.
We had a little delay because of a doctor appointment, but So that was good for us. And I would say if you have a child that has any type of sensory issues like that, that would be a wise decision. But victory for the Coulters, and we got to actually experience the fair together, which is the first time we've done that as a family. So it was really cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So that was fun. And then going the rest of our week, was fine. We had our Tuesday night re-engage marriage class, which we had mentioned in the last episode.
Yep.
And so this is going to be an overall 16-week course, I think it is.
Yeah.
And we're going to just kind of talk about it here. And hopefully if anybody, anybody listening, they can take what they want from it, is how I look at it. We're not here to be marriage counselors by any shakes. And this is just part of looking through the window into our home.
Yep. And we're just sharing some of what we're learning.
Yep. What we're going through and what we're learning. And I will say that I can already really feel a different vibe with us, which I think is great. I think we have more awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to really be more intentional about things. And it's just been a really good thing for us.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I just want to segue away from that just for a second is, you know, one of the things that we struggle with is spending time together.
Yeah.
So one thing I discovered this week, because we have our IEP meeting coming up, is that Bryce's afternoon school, they have an after school program. So I told the teacher, I said, you know, Friday, we may not be able to get back right after class to pick him up. And they're like, oh, that's okay. We have an aftercare program. It's, you know, he can stay until 5:30. It's like $10 or something. I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I ran home and told Sandy, guess what? You know, we can have more time together, like one day a week or something. We can, you know, he can stay at school and be social with the other kids, and we can have some extra time
especially
together.
When I get off early. you know, on a Wednesday or a Friday would be ideal.
And then also one of his teachers babysits. So that was a win. So we have somebody else that we can add to our list that will give us more time together.
This is huge for us.
It's huge.
It is. And we really haven't had, we just haven't had the doors just hadn't opened before. Let's just put it that way. But I think God knows our hearts and he knows we're ready. And again, we have the awareness. Because even like when we've had time to have dinner in the past several months, last year, let's just say in 2018, by the time we would get to dinner, really, by the time we would get over to mom's or whoever and we drop him off, we were so exhausted that we really weren't even, we may have been physically present, but I don't feel like we were hardly mentally or emotionally present.
Yeah.
We weren't.
Our days, you know, by the end of our days, we're just exhausted like a lot of people are.
Yeah. So it's hard. We're like, we gotta get together in an earlier time of day. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, Saturdays is best if mom's in town on a Saturday, because maybe we can get there earlier. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work out for this past Saturday. But anyway,
so
we're
the
very
time
excited.
Yeah.
But that goes really to our, the part of the reason why we're doing this
reengagement
class.
So this past week was like, so name some things that are impacting your marriage in a negative way. Right. So it makes you stop and think about, okay, what things are happening that are impacting our marriage?
Yeah. You know? And it was also told, you know, like they put a hula hoop in the middle of the table because they're trying to give a visual that stay inside the circle, stay inside yourself. So it's so quick and easy to say, well, your spouse or somebody else and deflect blame in other directions. And while there may be some blame that could legitimately be deflected, that's not what this is about. This is about searching your own soul and your soul, your own heart and your own actions.
Yeah.
What are you, what am I doing
that's
maybe having a negative impact or affecting our relationship? And so, you know,
so I'm like,
so that's,
you know,
what we had to share.
I really felt that, you know, the things outside of God and our relationship are pulling us away from each other, like other things want my time and are taking priority instead of us and our my time in the Bible or our spiritual time. So I put my finger on that, you know, that those other things aren't as important, you know, so they should not take priority in my life with you, you know?
Right. And then for me, you know, what I shared was, I was trying to think, you know, what do I do that's kind of affecting our marriage? And I realized that I find myself snuggling with Bryce more than I snuggle with you. And there's reasons for that. I mean, I think part of it is he likes to snuggle more than you do.
Yeah, and a lot of times he's just in between us.
And the truth is he likes to wedge in between us, and that's true too.
Yeah.
And he like, you know, he'll request to snuggle. And I didn't realize, and I really do think part of it is I didn't realize that was part of my love language, you know, not intimate stuff. I'm just talking about like, you know,
touch.
Just snuggle and touch. Right. Exactly. And so I realized that is Bryce's love language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of that is because, you know, he's 5 and a half now. It's going to be 5 and a half in a few days. And he still hasn't told me I love you.
Mm-hmm.
He's repeating it when he uses it in a song or whatever, but he hasn't figured out how to express that in words, you know, but he expresses that to me through touch, you know, how he puts his hand on my hand or on my knee. And he does that with you as well. Well, I just really realized that, wow, I want that from you too, you know? And I think you're so,
Your brain's just
not there, and that's okay. Yeah. But how am I supposed to let you assume that I want that? And I've mentioned it before. I have, in all fairness, but you know, I get it. And so, but then I also, you know, I shared this with the class. I share this with you. I don't have a problem saying, because hopefully we shared to help somebody else.
Right.
But you know, if I go over and I reach and hold your hand, and then you hold my hand, that's fine. But then you reach to do something else, and you don't go back and grab my hand again, then automatically my mind's going to rejection, you know, and I do know that, but you know, that's right. where the enemy gets in so your mind and you get mind games.
And I think girls
overanalyze things.
They overanalyze, they read into things a little more than guys do. Whereas me, it just didn't even cross my mind that I had let go and not reattached, you know? So I just continued doing what we were doing before we were holding hands. So, like, if we were watching TV,
or if it's in the car, or whatever. You put on your own. Yeah, and again, it's just one of those things that I think we just have to have that awareness and communication and not assuming that the other
you
one knows.
You have to have communication. If you don't have communication, then it's bad news.
Yeah, but it was still hard. Like, I still felt a little, I don't know what even the word is, conscientious, I guess, but to share that with you, embarrassed maybe? Like, I don't want to sound like I'm petty, but then I'm like, well, no, but you have to share these things because I'm not trying
especially
to be petty.
If you long for that, you know, I mean, if it's a small thing, then it might be petty, but that's not a small thing.
No, and if I'm seeking it, I certainly want to find it from you.
Right.
You know, I'm getting it from Bryce, but that's only can be at a certain extent as well from your child, you know, or then it can become inappropriate if you're too attached to your child and not attached to your spouse. And I've seen that happen. And I certainly don't want to become one of those statistics. So anyway, so this is why this class is good.
So I feel like we got to hold on, you know, those couple of things. We've identified them. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
To identify what it is and then work on it. And that's what we're working on. And it's
and if that's the biggest problem,
it's working.
I'm feeling pretty good that that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
You know, because I think you and I mentioned, you know, is it okay to mention that we've been married before on this podcast? And I'm like, yeah, I don't have any problem with that as long as it comes in a proper context.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think sharing, I think one of the reasons why this is so important to us is because we know the feeling of a failed marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it's like to be
two times each
in a bad marriage. Yeah. You know, I married young at 18 and I endured 5 years of a marriage that, you know, there was a lot of abuse in that.
I mean,
and then I don't want to say I rebounded because there was some time and distance between that. But I really thought the second time that I found the person that I was supposed to be with. But then that person fooled me and really ended up being somebody that he didn't say that. I mean, he pretended to be.
When you get married for the first time, you think that, you know, it's the fairy tale thing, you know, you're going to spend the rest of the life with this person. But, you know, I guess, I don't know. Sometimes people change and they, who knows what goes on in their heads. But anyway, I wish we'd been married back when we were 18 and 20.
I think we could have worked it out.
But you know what? God sent us through those two marriages each to prepare us for each other.
We appreciate each other on a level that I think other couples probably don't. And it probably did solidify our marriage a lot more because of where we've been and what we've experienced, you know. And it wasn't like, for me, I mean, it was 5 years invested into each of those relationships, the marriage part, not even the relationships were longer. So, you know, it's just a lot that's prepared me to bring me to this point. But that's why I feel like we have a great marriage compared to what I've had in the past. No doubt it's a great marriage, but is it the best marriage that it could be? And the answer is no. We've lost some of the attention that needs to be focused on us, you know, through life circumstances, which happens, but at least we have the desire and the wisdom to recognize it, to call it out and to do something about it. And, you know, that's why I think that's so important. The other thing that we shared this past week was, what are three characteristics that you admire in your spouse? And I thought what was pretty cool about this was,
and they said write a note or email
or just verbally share it.
Yeah.
And so I had written mine in my book and I was planning to verbally share it with Chris, but he had already emailed me. So I'm like, oh, well, do I want to read this before I share with him? But I did it. I went ahead and read it, which was very sweet. But two of the three things that he wrote that he admires in me were two of the three that I wrote about him, with one of those being honesty. And that, again, comes from past relationships that did not have honesty in them. And so that is definitely one of the things that attracted me to you and that I admire in your character, for sure, hands down. And because I'm always like, just tell me the truth. I can learn to deal with it somehow. Just do not lie to me. I do not like to be lied to. But yeah, so the honesty and the kindness, which I appreciate you saying that about me, but I so admire your kind heart and you're very caring with me, with Bryce, with your family, with strangers, with the, you know, senior citizens of our community. And you're just really awesome. And then the third thing, characteristic that I put about you was, I love that you're funny and that you have a great sense of humor and that you can make me laugh out loud. And I admire that characteristic because not everybody does. And then I think it's funny that the third one you said about me was...
was you're optimistic.
Yeah.
So I always love your optimism. Like if I'm having a bad day or, you know, something happens, I'm like, oh, I can't believe that. You're like, well...
I do always put the positive
spin
on it.
Put the positive spin on it. I'm like, yes.
So we're such a great balance for each other. We make each other laugh. We help each other keep a great perspective. Are honest with each other, and you know, we try to be kind and caring where we
can. So that's this week's nuggets for our re-engage class that we're doing at church. And I want to follow that with some more tips that I have from the autism conference that I went to back in January. Yeah. Was it already?
No, it was your... February. One healthy weekend in... Oh,
January.
No, it was January. Yes, your one healthy weekend in January.
So I'm finally feeling better, thankfully. So a couple of nuggets from that. Last episode, we talked about the most effective techniques across all therapies that seem to help kids on the spectrum. And here's a couple more. One is reinforcement. So you find what motivates your child. And they call it the die for. So find the to die for. So if it's, I don't know, chocolate or
well, for Bryce,
iPad
it was the car wash.
Or car wash. Mm-hmm. You know, you find that. And then you pair the reinforcement immediately with positive behavior. So what you do is if they do something right, then you immediately reinforce the behavior. And then you continue to do that for a certain amount of time, and then you reinforce every other time, and then you scale it back from there. So then it becomes a normal behavior after a while, and they won't need the reinforcement. So you think about that behavior. Can you use that behavior as a skill or part of a skill? So maybe they like opening and closing doors. So maybe that could be a skill of opening or closing something else, you know. Maybe a latch or a lock, a padlock, using a key, you know. So think about how you can cross over those negative behaviors and make them a positive behavior for the child. Also, another technique is extinction. So they call that the best behavior modification tool is extinction. And just remember that every behavior has a purpose. So even if they can't tell you what it is, there's something behind that that's triggering the behavior. So sometimes a new behavior is medically driven. So don't think they're just being defiant for other reasons. It could be that they have a fever or a toothache that they can't tell you about. You know, as a kid got his hands in his mouth all the time, and maybe it's a loose tooth or something. So you have to take that into consideration also. And then kids like big reactions. So if, you know, if they do something wrong and you raise your voice or, you know, do something with your hands, they like big reactions like that. So it feeds them. So they'll keep doing it. So when you're working on extinction, they say that the escalation of the behavior can be expected before the extinction. So if you're working on that, getting rid of the behavior, it can escalate before it
disappears. Totally,
yeah, disappears. So you tackle the behavior right away. You don't give warnings. You ignore the behavior and not the child. You don't want to ignore your child because your child needs you. You know, they're doing this behavior for a reason. So for us, like, he has trouble going through doors and by himself. So in our case, what we would do is kind of push him through the door where he's going to try not to all his might. And he's going to kick and scream. But once he gets through the door, we reward him right away and say, great job. Ignore the screaming, you know, just give him that positive behavior. And, you know, just don't pay attention to the screaming, which is the behavior, or the, you know, the standing stiff, not wanting to go through the door. So if you can reward him right away, then the behavior eventually becomes extinct. And like I said, in the reinforcement part, then you can get down to every other time and then eventually just fade off the reward. And hopefully you have a normal, typical behavior.
All right. Well, I have some comments on that feedback. Yeah. I'm learning with you listeners as we're doing this because,
again, I have a lot of information.
He has all this information that he hasn't shared, so I'm listening with you.
Time, yeah.
So anyway, okay, so as you're talking about the reinforcement, I think a great example for us, for Bryce, mm-hmm. is, and I mentioned briefly car wash, but the reason why that comes to my mind is he was having difficulty at school and he kept getting red choices.
This is a perfect example.
So we knew that he was losing his ABA tech. We know he responds very well to the reinforcement and the token economy and all of that, if you are familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
which just basically means the reward system. And so we've mentioned before that he would get at his VPK, or actually both schools, he has to make green choices.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher determines whether Bryce gets to come home with a green card or not.
Yeah. So it's a little laminated card with a green smiley face. Or a red frown.
It says I had a green choice day. So he either gets it or he doesn't, right? Yeah. So his reward, and at this time, he was so about car washes. Mm-hmm. He loved to go through them. And that would be his to die for. Yep. You know, he would do anything to go to the car wash. We invested in a monthly car wash plan.
We did.
It was so much cheaper to do it that way. It's minutes from our house. But he knew if he came home, if he got that, and it was a big deal when the teacher would give, you know, to us when we pick him up, then we would go right away. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't wait. It would be you leave the school and you go to the car wash.
And so when we got to the car wash, since we bought the monthly thing, the gate would like sense the car and then automatically open. So we told him that he had to have his green smiley face card to open
the
gate. We'd say, hold your card up. So it just timed out, like, when he held his card up, the gate would open, and we'd be like, yay, and we'd go through the car wash. So, yes, that was a daily thing for weeks.
I was going to say for weeks. Mm-hmm. It was every day, and even on the weekends, we would incorporate it.
Everybody knows us at the car wash.
Yes, they do love Bryce, and he has a job waiting for him.
Yes.
And for weeks, it was every day. Yeah. We had the cleanest cars in town, but then we could get by with every few days, mm-hmm. and he would still make green choices, and mm-hmm. he would be okay.
And then he wouldn't really
ask
about it.
And then he didn't ask about the car wash. I'm like, I think we can cancel that membership. Now, we kept it for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
because the first month, it earned every penny.
Yeah.
The second month, it kind of phased out. You would still think every time he went through, it was his first time. He did truly enjoy it. And if we took him today, he would love it. But he didn't have to. He would do the behavior and get the green choices, mm-hmm. without needing the car wash. And that's the point that I get that you're making with the reinforcement.
And extinction. So, last month, he only had
one red
choice day.
The whole month of February.
So that's when we were saying, well, we can cancel the car wash now because he's behaving well in class now, and so we don't need that reinforcer. Plus,
and we give him other little nuggets.
There's other things that he likes now, but the car wash is not at the forefront of his mind.
It's not.
So it kind of worked out both ways.
And the behavior, he had a really great month of behavior.
Yeah.
Yay! It is cute. He said last night, just speaking of the months, he says,
Okay.
Bryce will be calling out a demand second. For me, so he'll be coming in. Anyway, okay, we can wrap with that before Bryce
Mommy's
comes
being
in.
Beckoned. So that wraps up parenting
here he
autism.
Comes. Hold on. Come on in, Bryce. Hey, you want to say hi?
Hi!
What do you want from me?
What? M&M's trash.
You want M&M's in the trash?
Okay. Let's dump the trash.
Oh, you want to dump the trash.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's put trash and M&M's in the garbage trucks.
Okay. You want to put M&M's in the garbage trucks?
Okay. Oh,
maybe he saw a video
of your toys?
Or something.
Okay.
Okay. I think he wants to put M&M's in his little trash cans.
Okay. Well, you, all right. You have
sounds
to go.
Good. I'm on it. All right,
and,
peeps.
We'll see you next time. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening on. Check out our Facebook page, and we leave tips on that and stuff, too. So
okay.
Until next time, we'll see you.
Okay. Bye.
What M&M's trash truck? Generated day and day generated do I will you generated do I love you I love in the morning in the afternoon I love in the evening underneath the moon. Generated a day, generated joy. I love you. Get see my grandma's home.
Okay.
You my grandma, you my grandpa. You make it happy. I win you. You give hugs and you give kisses. You poke behind much. I love you.
That was good. Awesome, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah?